Medicaid and the uninsured and low-income communities, including low-income communities of color. My plan for this afternoon is to provide a pretty broad overview of the Medicaid expansion, some background, and a little bit about some data on the implications of the Medicaid expansion and states' decisions to expand or not expand on communities of color. And I would be happy to then turn it over to Dr. Mays and Ms. Stewart for a little bit more of an on-the-ground perspective. So just to provide a little bit of background, stepping back, one of the reasons for the Medicaid expansion, which I'll go into in a little bit, is that prior to the Affordable Care Act passage, there were many people in the U.S. who were uninsured. There still are today. But people of color were at higher risk of being uninsured compared to non-Hispanic whites. So what you see in this slide is the distribution of coverage by different races and ethnicities. And you can see here that Hispanics on the far right hand side, about one in three were uninsured, compared to just 13% of whites and a gradient in between. Now, one of the primary purposes of the Affordable Care Act was to provide for new health coverage options to reduce the number of uninsured people nationwide. And it did this through a number of different measures. So it builds upon the space of employer-sponsored coverage that we have in the U.S. today. The majority of people still receive their coverage through an employer, but not everyone, and particularly for low-income populations. So on the right-hand side, there's the creation of these new health insurance marketplaces with subsidies for moderate-income individuals. So those up to about $47,000 for an individual, that's about 400% of the federal poverty level. And you probably heard a lot about this. Healthcare.gov is an example of the federal marketplace, and depending on what state you're from, you may have an individual state-based marketplace as well. Now, the other piece, which is the one that I'm focusing on this afternoon, is this Medicaid expansion, Medicaid coverage for low-income individuals to up to 138% of the federal poverty level, which for an individual is about $16,000 per year. So prior to the Affordable Care Act, people were only eligible for Medicaid if they fit into specific categories. So if you had to be a child or a pregnant woman or very, very low-income parent, essentially earning very, very little per year. If you were a childless adult, meaning that you didn't have any dependent children at home, you were ineligible for Medicaid regardless of how much income that you made, which is something that many people often don't know, that you could earn zero income or earn very little and be ineligible for Medicaid prior to the Affordable Care Act. The goal, one of the key goals of the Affordable Care Act, was to expand Medicaid to all low-income individuals regardless of what category that they fit into. And many people, many uninsured adults, and especially adults of color, would be eligible for Medicaid if all states were to expand. And that's in part because many people who are uninsured have low income. And so what you see in this figure here, in this slide, is the percent of non-elderly adults who would be eligible for Medicaid if all states expanded by race and ethnicity. So overall, regardless of race, about 4 in 10 of those uninsured adults could be gain eligibility under Medicaid if states were to expand, but it's much higher for black Americans, black adults, and that's in part because many of the uninsured black Americans in the U.S. have lower incomes and could be eligible. For Hispanics, it looks a little bit lower than what you might expect, in part because these data take into account immigration status, and some may be ineligible for coverage based on their immigration status. I'm happy to answer some of those questions later on if you have those. But as you may have known, not all states expanded Medicaid, so those numbers that I showed before are not the reality. And right now, this is the current status of state Medicaid expansion decisions. We show that 27 states and the District of Columbia have decided to expand Medicaid. But as a result of there was a Supreme Court decision in 2012 that effectively made the Medicaid expansion optional. And 23 states thus far have opted not to implement the Medicaid expansion. Now, I want to highlight, because I'll be talking about this in a little second, some of the geographic disparities in the states that are expanding and not expanding. If you look at the bright orange belt at the bottom of this chart, the southern states, many of them are not expanding Medicaid, whereas many of those in the Northeast and the West are expanding. And that has implications for the availability of coverage for communities of color, as I'll talk about in a second. But I want to highlight that in states that do not expand Medicaid, there are large gaps in the availability of coverage for adults. What you see in this figure is what has happened in states that have not expanded Medicaid. Because as intended, the law said that all individuals up to 138% of the federal poverty level would be eligible for Medicaid. And as a result, only those who earned above the poverty limit were eligible for this for marketplace subsidies, shown in this blue portion of the umbrella here. In states that do not expand, eligibility for adults in those states remains at the low levels that they were before, meaning that if you are, let's take an example, Louisiana, since we're in Louisiana today. Louisiana has decided not to expand Medicaid. If you are a childless adult in this state, you are still ineligible for Medicaid regardless of the income that you earn. If you're a parent, I don't remember the exact eligibility limit here, but it's very low. On average, among the 23 states that are not expanding Medicaid, the median eligibility limit for parents is 50%, meaning that if you're a parent in a family of three and a family income is about $9,900 per year, you're ineligible for Medicaid in this state. And so with people who... there are a group of people, all poor adults, who fall into what we call this coverage gap, represented by this white portion of the umbrella in the middle over here. 4 million people fall into this coverage gap. And effectively, they earn too much to be eligible for marketplace subsidies, but not enough to be eligible for Medicaid in their states. Now, again, remember I remarked on the geographic distribution of states that are not expanding Medicaid. You can see that nearly 9 in 10 of the 4 million adults that fall into the coverage gap reside in the South. So looking on the left, you see 86% of those are in the South. And but specifically, they're in some large states that have large communities of color in them. Texas has 1 in 4 of the people currently who fall into this coverage gap. Florida, North Carolina, and Georgia make up this rest of the group. So in total, almost 6 in 10 adults in the coverage gap are just in those four states. Now, this has implications for the availability of coverage, because if you look at this figure, which shows that the impact of the coverage gap varies widely by race and ethnicity, overall, just a little bit over a quarter of those who could gain coverage under the Medicaid expansion fall into the gap. That's what this figure shows. The share of people by each race and ethnicity who could have the potential to gain coverage but do not because they fall into the coverage gap. It's a little bit less for whites and Hispanics, and I can explain that in a second, but I want to highlight the larger share for African Americans. Over a third of those who could gain coverage fall into the coverage gap, in part because of the decisions of some of the southern states where a large share of low-income, uninsured African Americans live, which is why it's higher for them. Hispanics are more concentrated in some of the large states, uninsured low-income Hispanics are more concentrated in some of the states that are expanding Medicaid, including California, New York, and Arizona. And as a result, the share of people who are ineligible based on decisions to expand is a little bit lower for Hispanics. But I don't want to sort of end only on a more sour note because there are many, as I mentioned, 28 states that are expanding Medicaid. And as a result, there is a potential to increase coverage options for those people. But again, because of these coverage gaps, because of the challenges related to immigration status, their coverage gaps remain. So many people may still be ineligible for coverage. But in the states that are expanding Medicaid, people may still obtain coverage through Medicaid. And then there are these new health insurance marketplaces, which many other people and many people of color qualify for. But in order to connect people to coverage, there's a need for very targeted one-on-one outreach and enrollment assistance to get the information out there, even in states that are not expanding, where some people may still be eligible, to let people know that these options are available and translate the coverage options into actual increased coverage. And I do want to emphasize that, you know, we're talking a lot about coverage, but as many of you may know, it's not just about coverage to help reduce the long-term disparities. The goal of getting people into coverage is ultimately to allow them to access care and to improve their health status. So regardless of whether a state expands or does not expand and people enroll into new coverage options, whether it's through Medicaid or the marketplace, there's a very important need for culturally and linguistically appropriate services, education, and information about being able to access the care that people need. So that's a broad overview, and I will turn it over to Dr. Mays to talk a little bit about what's going on the ground.